you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We'll win this game.
Yes.
If you hit somebody in the mouth, we're going to get physical. We're going to get ugly right now.
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
We're going to take a quick timeout.
Thank goodness. Clips.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Hard Knocks. What did you think of it?
When they're going through Coach Eberflus's makeover, man, everything in me is fighting not to turn the damn TV off. when Owes and Cunningham are having their feelings conversation, like, I'm trying to get through it. I'm trying not to turn the TV off and throw something at the TV. You guys are such a great guy.
I wish I was sitting there with you, man. I would love to watch
so
that with
much.
You.
Anyway, great show. That's what I'm going to do.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.
This segment with the great Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com and brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. It's a football Friday. Mm-hmm. Olin joins us right now. Spiegs and David Haugh together again for one of the first times, Olin. David's working a double, man. Impressive, isn't it?
Hardworking guy. Now that's how he's worked his way through all these TV appearances and on the radio.
What's up, Olin?
How's it going, guys?
It's good, man. You ever work a double? You ever have a double shift? I mean, I don't even know what that would be. I guess two-a-days for a football player?
Well, I definitely did two-a-days for a football player. I once played in a preseason game. Three centers got hurt when I was a starter, and I had to go back in overtime after having two beers and a hot dog. So that's a double.
That's a pretty good comp.
That's outstanding. So, You know, the professional dart players or dartistes, whatever they're called, they like a little bit of a buzz. They think a little bit of a buzz actually makes them more accurate. How did a couple of beers make you at your job?
Well, thankfully, I was going against the Bengals' fourth string nose guard, so I wasn't too bad when I went back in the game, just considering who I was going against. I actually drove the nose guard out of bounds, decided to talk a little trash. Everybody on the sideline was screaming at me, "You're not supposed to be in the game, Olin. Stop talking trash to a fourth-string nose guard." And Dick LeBeau said something to me. He was the head coach at the time, and I said something colorful back, and they caught me on TV, and I got fined more than I made the whole preseason. So that wasn't very fun.
Oh, man.
Where were the beers? Where did you get the beer?
Oh, well, you know, let's not dig into this, David. Come on now.
Come on. Let's not take advantage of Olin's time.
I know you're resourceful, man. I know
Come
you love
on
it.
Come now, FBI. Let's not dig into
you
this.
You love it when I ask you the tough questions, Olin. You always have.
Oh, well,
always
I love when you write articles about how I should be fired.
Oh,
that's what I
stop
love the most.
It. Oh, no. Here we go.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Hold on. I'm the youngest of five. I know how to bring the room together. Everything's going to be fine.
Hug it out.
This is actually how me and David get things accomplished.
That is. That's right. Very productive that way.
Olin believes in the power of positive confrontation. All right, Olin.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Bates is out for this game. Mm. Coleman Shelton and Nate Davis are locked and loaded. How fearful should Bears fans be for the middle of the offensive line this week?
Really good question. After what we watched last week, right, with Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons and everyone talking about going into the game, I thought watching Sweat in the preseason, like, man, this guy, he might be a problem, right? Just watching him play and his size and his quickness. And he ended up being a problem for the middle of the Bears offensive line, including Tevin Jenkins, including Nate Davis, and including Coleman Shelton. But a little bit better matchup, guys, actually, for the Chicago Bears this week against the Texans defense. They're inside quick. They hustle. They get after people, but not as physically imposing as the Titans. The one thing I do worry about, obviously, like you guys know, you worry about an offensive line the first time on the road. You worry about communication. You know, everybody down there in Houston is excited for this football team. They're excited for their young franchise quarterback. This is their opener. They are coming to cheer, to yell. So we'll see how Caleb and Coleman, who are the two guys up front who have to organize everything, we'll see how they handle that. But as far as Coleman Shelton, Tevin Jenkins, and Nate Davis versus the interior of the Texans defense, little better matchup for them, I think, just from watching film. Hopefully they can handle these guys a little better than a 370-pound guy who could probably tightrope walk across the Grand Canyon. I don't know what that guy was doing out there.
So say Shane Waldron called you and said, all right, now that you have seen the tape from the first game, offensively, we did not do a good enough job of establishing our identity. Help us try to do that. What advice would you offer Shane Waldron in game two?
Yeah, if Shane called me, it'd be simple for me, David. I'd say, look, man, I don't need, when you get past the 30, I don't need DJ Moore motioning out and you handing the ball to Velus Jones. I just don't need it, right? I don't need on first and 10 a fake boot, a fake outside zone boot right throwback screen. I just don't need it. I got a guy there at right tackle, Darnell Wright. I like the way he plays the game. Nate Davis is a good run blocker. Put Cole Kmet. I put Mercedes Lewis. I like the way Swift was running the ball. How about we run downhill a little bit behind our Darnell Wright, who may be on film one of our top players on offense, right? That first game, sometimes he made it look easy blocking Landry. So very simple for me, David, and I know you guys are shocked that I would say run downhill behind the offensive line. Let the big guys get moving forward. We don't need to hand the ball to Velus Jones and DJ Moore motioning. We don't need a fake screen when we're running the ball decently down there. Let's keep our offense on schedule, right? Let's keep our offense on schedule, keep our young quarterbacks in good situations, not in second and 19. Let's keep them in second and 6 or less. Let's get them to third and 4, 35, 36, where he can handle it, where if Keenan Allen does run an out route, hopefully he is playing. I don't know if he is or if he isn't, or if DJ Moore is one-on-one, or maybe we'll find Cole Kmet out there to find him under a rock. Let's get him the ball. Let's get guys the ball. Let's let them win their matchups.
You know, it's interesting. I went back to my offseason research on Shane Waldron after we saw what they had done in the first game. And there's a few different things I found. I'll throw one at you, Olin, and maybe we'll throw some at Dan Wiederer when we have him on with us in an hour. But to your point, last year, the Seahawks, and I had this wrong, like anecdotally, they were second to last in the league in rushing attempts with 382. Over the course of the full season. But that was supposedly exacerbated by, wait for it, a bad interior of the offensive line. I wonder why that is a commonality. I wonder if there's anything schematic about that that's a commonality. That kind of freaked me out a little bit to read that this week, Olin.
Yeah, and as you know, numbers don't tell the whole story. But I think we talked about Friday, and I've been talking about on the different shows that I've been on, that Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams, and Shane Waldron was going to be the guy I was going to be watching closest this year, right, even before this game. And I think the last 10 games, the Seattle Seahawks played the average under 20 points a game. So you kind of watch him. You read some articles. We got to watch the way this guy gets the offense moving in the right direction. And obviously, we're all going to be worried and overreact after that first game. But it did nothing to make us feel any better about your stats, what I've read about it, what I did watch a little bit of film on the Seahawks. You just worry a little bit about always when you have a young quarterback, number one quarterback. I like to say, guys, that there aren't a lot of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. There aren't a lot of franchise quarterbacks. There's even less elite play callers, right? There's even less elite play callers in football. So when you find one of those guys and you find a quarterback, that's when you have something special. That's what we're looking for, right? The Texans seem to have when you watch their film with Slowick and Stroud. They seem to have that connection. They call the right plays. They make the plays when they have to make plays to win a game. I think Stroud on 3rd and 12 after getting a false start last week, he hit Nico Collins on a 3rd and 12 on a quick out route by the sideline, ended that game. That's a big time play. That's what we want to start seeing here in Chicago, hopefully soon.
One more thing on the interior of the offensive line for me, Olin. I mean, if you're the Texans, you watch that film. You think maybe we see some stunts with those edges coming into the middle? And should the Bears dedicate, you know, running backs to stay in and help in the middle just in case, that kind of thing?
Well, I think you're going to see that. You would see that anyway, right? And the Texans, they're going to line, you know, Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter outside, and they'll run stunts anyway. Against everything, they ran them last week, right? They ran them last week versus the Colts. And the Colts, like you know, they have Quinton Nelson, they have Will Fries, and they have Ryan Kelly. They have some of the best interior three in the NFL. So you'll see that anyway. But, yes, there's no way you can't watch that film and say, man, let's get after this offensive line a little bit. But remember, Speeds, like I talked about, styles make fights. This is a different venue. This is a different team. They don't have the same strengths that the Titans have. Now you're at home. If you're the Texans, you have crowd noise, right? The Bears tackle is going to be a little late off the snap. You got a new center. I don't know how they're going to do silent count going into this game. You're going to be watching for that. But if you take your edges, if you're the Texans, and you have crowd noise, and you got to step on these guys, and you're going to go after Braxton Jones, Daniel Hunter, and Will Anderson, and you're going to go after Darnell Wright, and you bring them inside with their badger crowd noise, I would say you're not a very good football coach.
That's a great point. So let's look at the defense for a moment, Olin. I don't want to exaggerate his importance. I think sometimes we tend to do that when players have good games. But Andrew Billings played a lot of different roles that used in a few different ways than he typically is. How would you describe what you saw on Sunday from Andrew Billings and his importance to this Bears defense?
Yeah, first of all, you get a little bit worried, right, when you don't have a true three technique, right, when you don't have in this defense. You would say we've heard so much over the years, Lovie Smith, right, Rod Marinelli, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Whenever you've watched this defense, you hear them say the most important position is our three technique. Well, if they don't have a guy flipping a three technique, guys, they don't have one, right? But credit Andrew Billings for doing what they asked him to do. It looked like they were playing right and left on Sunday, right, where Dexter was playing the left side line and Billings was playing the right. Billings now, not just this game, for the last year and this year, he has been incredible inside, right? He has been he was taking on Latham and Skoronski's double team in there, and trust me, that's how the Titans want to win that game. They want to win that game running behind their two young offensive linemen, and Billings, for the most part, shut that down, did a great job. Now, there was times when the Titans did get their run game going, but when you took a good, close look at the film, when their run game was going on the field, was Austin Booker, right, was Chris Williams, was Coward. So you didn't see that again. Remember that big, long run by Pollard off the left side of the line? They were running at Booker. As soon as Booker came on the field, old Bill Callahan was on the sideline, right, and he said, look at that. Let me run at this young defensive end and see if he can handle it. And he couldn't, and the Bears had to take him out for a little while, and he's going to work on getting his pads down, getting his hands inside, and holding the edge. But as far as Billings goes, man, he is a key cog in this Bears defense when it comes to stopping the run. And crazy enough, he was getting pressure on Skoronski there late in the game. He was providing pressure up the middle of that defense. So for what they're paying him, for what he's doing, for what he's providing for a guy who is he basically was a nose guard that's been on 4 or 5 different teams. A journeyman nose guard came in here, came to Chicago, found a spot, playing high-level football, man. He's fun to watch.
Olin Kreutz joining us here on 670 The Score. Always great stuff with Olin. I love the way you talk about the center and Caleb Williams as the two, what do you say, like the organizers, the communicators, yes, like the knowledge acquirers. You know, the two of them have to work together in that. I have no idea how good Caleb is at that stuff yet. Do you have a sense for how good he is at reading defenses and calling out coverages and doing that mental part of it? It's hard to tell from my perspective.
Yeah, it is hard to tell. What I like to do a lot of times, Speeds, is kind of turn up the TV copy and hear the calls being made and how they're directing guys and putting guys. It didn't look like they had a lot of identification problems. By that, I mean, who is the offensive line working to? Who are the free rushers? When does the ball have to come out? When is Caleb what they like to call hot? Means you don't have anybody to block a guy. That means the receiver has to be running a certain route, and he has to get the ball out. Denard Wilson did a nice job switching up his coverages, confusing Caleb, speeding him up that way. But they didn't struggle a lot with that, I thought, on Sunday. It didn't look great because they didn't move the ball. They didn't score points. They didn't get a lot of yards at all, right? I've been a part of a lot of games like that, as you guys know, around here in Chicago. But when you go into this stadium, coming up here in Houston versus the Miko Ryans, versus with this crowd noise, it becomes critically important. But Coleman Shelton now, that is his strength. I've heard you, Coach. I think you guys have heard Coach Eberflus with his nice hair talk about that, right? He's talked about how Coleman Shelton's strength is organizing, getting guys identified, getting guys moving in the right direction. He did do a good job of that on Sunday. He's going to have to do that again on Sunday night versus the Texans, and we'll see how they're using silent count, because with a center like that, who can organize things, who can see things, and get everybody on the right guys, you do not want his head between his legs. You want someone like one of the guards, maybe Tevin Jenkins or Nate Davis, looking back, and when Caleb gives him the sign, they'll tap Coleman Shelton or stick their arm forward, and that means it's time to snap the ball. They usually have it on a timing. They're practicing this week. 1,001, 1,000, go.
Been wanting to follow up since Monday morning, Olin, because the haircut is not the only thing you complimented about Matt Eberflus this week. You also referred to him as an elite play caller defensively. And I think that was high praise from somebody who doesn't necessarily dish out praise liberally, or you don't overdo it. What made you think that he is that good of a play caller, and what kinds of things do you see that make you kind of describe him that way?
Yeah, I just think you see him, especially after halftime, David, and he is elite, man. I mean, he was elite when he was calling plays in Dallas, and he continues to be, right? He continues to be elite. This week he goes up against a guy who also makes halftime adjustments in Bobby Slowick. But as far as Coach Eberflus goes, as you guys have seen since he's taken over play calling, after halftime, man, he makes his adjustments. He made adjustments last week, widened the defensive line out just a little bit. He realized how they were trying to attack him, got his D-lineman on the edges, completely shut the Titans down, confused Will Levis with his coverages, went after them a little bit, and then he does that week in and week out, and he has the head coach responsibility, which tells me he can handle it, right? He can handle being the head coach and calling plays. Obviously, Eric Washington is here. I have a lot of respect for him. He was here while I was here. Great football coach, great guy. Learned a lot from great coaches and Ron Rivera and Lovie Smith and Rob Marinelli. He's got a great pedigree. So you put those two guys in one room, you see how T.J. Edwards plays. You know Eberflus is a linebacker coach, right? You know he's in his ear giving him tips, telling him where the ball is going. Go play downhill, play fast, run to the ball carrier, get the ball out. I just really like the adjustments he makes during the game to give his defense a little bit of an advantage. And just like we talked about with offensive play callers, there's not a lot of elite defensive play callers either. It's just a hard job to do. And that's why when you see these guys who can do it, they don't leave the NFL until they want to leave.
Olin, wondering what you think about the topic of the day, you know, nationally in the NFL. Which is Tua Tagovailoa suffering what is at least his third concussion, maybe his fourth concussion last night, and a slew of former players and commentators and such telling him he ought to retire, some saying that the NFL ought to make him retire, knowing your love of the game and all of our shared love for the brutality of the game, frankly. I mean, what would you do? What would you do if that is a family member or a beloved friend of yours who's in that kind of situation? What kind of advice do you give a guy like that?
Yeah, interesting enough, I do know Tua Tagovailoa. He's from my high school, right? He's from Honolulu. He's from St. Louis High School in Honolulu, Hawaii. I know his family. I know Tua well enough to know this. He's not walking away from the game, guys. He's not. So he is that kind of guy. He loves football. Is it a smart choice? That I don't know. I'm not in a room with the doctors, right? I'm not in a room with them. I know when you watch that, when you know what has happened to him, you do get worried, right? You do get worried for the young man. You do get worried for his family. You do get worried about life after football, right? Now being 47 years old, I have two sons who played Illinois. Obviously, health is an important thing that we talk about a lot. We all know the bargain that we're making with this game. We all know what we're getting out of this game, and we all know how dangerous this game is. So without all the information, it's hard to give a guy advice, right? And if I talk to Tua, I say collect the information, and you got to do what you feel like you and your family need to do. I know the dad. I know the dad pretty well. I know where they're from. I have talked to them. They are not stepping away from this game, guys. Right? They're from where I'm from. They play football. We're a warrior culture in Hawaii. That's the way things are. You may like it. You may agree with it. You may not. That's up to you. Right? We don't force you to think certain things. We think a certain way. You do what you got to do. I will ask the players this, who are all saying that. I would ask Antonio Pierce this. Would you? Right? It's easy to say it. Right? I would ask all the former players on ESPN. I would ask when you stand in front of a microphone and you say the things that you think everybody wants to hear from you. And it's great. But I would ask Antonio Pierce this. Would you walk away from the game in your 20s? Would you do it? And I bet you the answer would be no. Right? And now we're talking about forcing a guy to do something he doesn't want to do. Right? Now you're going down a slippery slope. So I would say this. Collect all the information you can. Make the best decision for yourself. But if I had to bet on anything, I would bet you Tua's not going anywhere.
It's a great perspective. I think a lot of this advice are players or ex-players projecting their own values onto somebody who they may or may not know. And I think that's why you want to be very careful in telling somebody how to live their life and what choice to make when it means as much, the game means as much to somebody as it obviously means to Tua.
By the way, saw some of Illinois holding on to take care of Kansas last week. Saw that young J.D. Crouts playing center there. How'd the boy play in a big win against a ranked Kansas team in your mind?
We have a lot to work on, Speaks, right? We always do. We got a lot to work on. A ten horseshoe.
Good answer,
had a
coach.
Hot dog and a few beers, right? I watched him rush the field. We call it an overreaction versus the 19th team in the nation, but I think Illinois has been waiting for it, right? It was packed. I think the Memorial Stadium was the first time it sold out since 2016.
Wow.
Coach Bielema, his secondary, great game against a very good quarterback. I think it's the first game the Kansas quarterback has lost as a starter. They got a great running back. They're a good football team. They battle Illinois tooth and nail all day. My son James plays linebacker. Joshua plays center. It was a big win for them. Central Michigan coming up tomorrow. Hopefully we can get by that one and see what happens after that. But, yeah, it was fun to have a hot dog in the horseshoe. The fans are great. Everybody enjoyed the game. Illinois really did enjoy that win and honestly needed it.
See, watching your son, that's okay to have a couple beers. Playing in a preseason game, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. See? Sorting it out. You guys can talk about it off the air.
I was sunflower seeds up. I can't tell you how happy I was when they called my name at 25 years old to get back in the game.
Great stuff, Olin.
Thanks, Olin.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, Illinois can have their first 3-0 start since 2011.
Excellent.
If they win tomorrow.
Central Michigan is going to be a challenge to ask Notre Dame about those MAC schools, so you don't want to take them lightly, but this is the start that Brett Bielema needed.
Had a solo weekend last weekend and really enjoyed being touched by the college football angel on a Saturday. It is 670 The Score. He's David Hall working a double. I am Matt Spiegel. It is Spiegel and Company. Who would your three historical people that you'd want to go golfing with be? Ryan Poles revealed his. That's among the things we'll hear from the big boss of the Bears next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live.
Oh, Zach Gelb, thank you for programming the radio station the way you do.
Well, that was exactly what Olin was referring to.
Olin would like a word. David Hall would like a word. I'd like a word with David Hall. The word is, thanks, buddy, for working a double.
You know, this is fun. It's a little change of pace. I don't mind it. It's a long day, but it's a fun day.
Yeah, I don't mind it. That sounds like you're really enjoying yourself.
No, I am enjoying myself.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, that was my little attempt to be passive aggressive, yeah, like Danny. Good. How'd that work out?
I think you really have to work on that delivery because I really didn't think it was a joke. Wow. I really don't like to kid around. Let's talk about the Cowboys.
This is big. That was David Haw's Danny Parkins impression.
Right.
I told Danny that the Danny Parkins impressions on this air have replaced the Murph impressions for the most beloved impressions.
Now, that's flattery. You know, imitation
so
is the sincerest form.
It was always a no-brainer that I was going to go ahead of Murph in terms of impressions. It was absolutely a no-brainer.
Mark Schlereth, he's a great guy. I love talking football with him.
Yeah, man. I mean, just because you're, like, filling in doesn't mean you are good or, like, get to do this more permanently. Like, afternoons, mornings, afternoons better, more money.
I don't know if that's true. 670, the score is where you are. It's Spiegs and Haw. So the podcast is called the Excellent Leadership Podcast. I've never heard of it until today. It's funny, you look back, this is their 10th episode, and Ryan Poles is on that podcast. I see that Mark Donovan was on the second episode. So they got to Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, and then you know how it works, David. They're like, hey, Mark, do you know anybody who might be willing to do this?
Who's doing the podcast? Who's doing the origin? It has to be somebody connected with the Chiefs?
No, it's
or
a
Kansas
host
City?
Named Chad Biagini,
okay,
who is the president of Nolan Partners. I don't know who that is. And co-host Darius Walker, who's also a partner at Nolan Partners. So
Darius Walker, a former player, Darius Walker?
I don't know.
There was a Notre Dame running back by that name.
Well, wasn't Nolan Partners a running back himself? No, that's the name of the company. Nolan Partners, you know, David, has been helping sports, media, and entertainment clients find talented leadership and performance executives for 15 years. So they're a placement firm.
Well, Ryan Poles will be a worthy guest because him being an executive at his level before he hits his 40th birthday, he would have a lot of information and a lot of wisdom, I think, that people would be interested in.
So, and Tanny grabbed us a couple of things from the Excellent Leadership Podcast featuring Ryan Poles. This first clip is about how he wanted desperately to get the general manager job with the Carolina Panthers, and he did not, and it absolutely crushed him.
One of the hardest moments I had was not getting the Carolina job. That was my first interview, and I thought I did really well. I prepared really well. I was, you know, you kind of feel in the zone when you go through the interview process. It started with Zoom and then it was in person. It's not talked about much, but you come up with this philosophy based on your experience and you share how you want to go about changing this organization and putting them in a really good position. And when you don't get the job, you go back to your old job. You've already mentally put yourself in a leadership position, especially in the GM job. And then you have to go back to the old philosophy where you basically were like, all right, I took these good things from what we do now. I don't like these things, so I'm going to toss that out. But you got to go live in that and you got to be supportive to your group. It was the first time I felt like mental health, disappointment, frustration. Like I had a lot of that when I returned back to Kansas City and it was eye opening. And it allowed me to start to put structure together, an executive coach, clinician, to tap into to express some of these feelings that I was going through because I didn't feel like I was a great teammate to my group when I got back. I was more angry and frustrated because, you know, I had this great plan and now I don't get to do it.
Man, that's so relatable, but, you know, but at a different level because it's about like putting yourself in a position to be a leader. And when you don't have to be a leader, then you go back. But I think anybody can relate to not getting that that job at having to go back and maintain.
I give him a lot of credit for acknowledging it publicly, because these guys are proud people, and when they don't get a job, they have to, number one, deal with that fallout and disappointment, and then to acknowledge it publicly later. Now he's in a position where he's overcome that, and maybe he wants other people to be able to relate and learn from that. But he did a nice job of communicating that, because that is difficult. Anybody who's ever interviewed for another job and then not gotten it and had to go back to where they were, it can be, you do need to recalibrate, I think. And he says that he did, and he obviously did it well enough to become a good teammate again, to be a good leader again, and to continue on the path and the professional arc that eventually led him to Chicago.
Yeah, good stuff.
And sometimes the best decisions are the ones you never make, and the best wishes are the ones that are never granted, because he had to have wished his way, oh, I want to go to Carolina. I want to go to Carolina, right?
It's a better place to be right here.
There's a country song about unanswered prayers, but I don't know the lyrics, but it seems to ring a bell. But you know what I'm talking about. You
just
want something
the other
so
night at a hometown football game. That's Garth Brooks. Okay. Unanswered prayers.
Keep going, Shane.
Thank you.
My wife and I ran into my old high school flame.
Look at this.
Wow.
Yeah. He's got chops over
there.
Yeah,
I accept that.
Man.
You were the only one who could sing on this show.
No, man. And then Ruthie? You hear Ruthie
yeah,
yesterday?
Yeah, she's going to be a member of Troubadoursaurus.
You never know. You never know.
Anyway.
It's interesting stuff. And then Ryan Poles was asked this question. I'm told we will enjoy the football person that's in this four-pack.
All right.
These are his three historical people he'd want to go golfing with. This is Ryan Poles.
What three people living or historical would you want to go golfing with?
Ozzie Newsome, old GM of the Ravens. He's one.
Why?
I spent an hour with him at a golf course in Baltimore. I had to go to a dinner, and I was like, I wish I had 4 or 5 hours just going through his journey as a player, but also as a GM, Super Bowl champion, you know, GM with that team and how he built it. I think he did a really good job with setting a culture, drafting the right people, acquiring the right players, but also the relationship side of it. And I think that's missed, is just like how, because you're torn between being detached and making business decisions, but also having empathy. It's that relationship that it's really hard to execute. And I feel like we're doing a good job here, but he's always been someone that I've looked up to that I feel like, from what I hear, did a really good job of that. So that's why on him. Barack Obama just is a leader and a high-pressure job, obviously. And then because we're here in Chicago, probably George Halas, just to hear his vision of, you know, where he started with his organization and where did he see it going. And what legacy did he want to leave? Yeah. And like, just talk through the Chicago Bears organization.
Oh, the pander police are out on that one.
Oh, he's learned well. He's a political animal in this job as a young executive. He knows what to say and what constituency he wants to reach. So that's a very good answer. Interesting stuff.
I love the Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
My God, what they've built there in Baltimore that still maintains. I know he's gone.
Pick his brain.
Oh, the template that he said is still the way they run.
I think I've written columns in the past when they've had openings before Ryan Poles. Ozzie Newsome, come to Chicago, save this franchise. Because he's the guy that you look at as being more than capable. And I can see why he would appeal. His leadership, his example would be one that a guy like Ryan Poles would want to follow.
All right, so I want to know your four-pack that you would take on a golf course.
Alive?
Alive, okay, or dead?
If it's alive.
David, you'd have to be living to be on the golf course.
Okay, all right, fine.
You do.
I will go with the – who doesn't want to go golfing with Barack Obama? That would be just fascinating, just because – of, you know, politics aside, just to talk sports with them. Who cares?
You get that going too.
Barack Obama, Jerry Seinfeld.
Good humor.
Jerry Seinfeld, because you got to laugh on the golf course, especially the way I play. So you would want that kind of element of the jokester, right? And then you'll laugh at this. I've always wanted to interview this guy. I've always wanted to be around this guy. I've seen him in concert about 7 times, Tim McGraw.
Really?
But by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
He didn't make the cut. Sorry, Joe. He didn't make the cut.
Tim McGraw. And you get baseball stuff there too from his pops.
Yes, because that's Live Like You Were Dying.
Yeah.
That's the song about Tug. The Phillies, I don't need to tell you about 1980 Phillies baseball.
No, you do not. Danny Ozark, where are you?
Barack Obama.
That's awesome.
Jerry Seinfeld, Tim McGraw, and me.
Okay, there you go. I need a little baseball, so I want Greg Maddux. I want to talk pitching with Greg Maddux. I need some music, so give me Paul Simon, who I contend is America's greatest living songwriter,
all right. That's awesome.
Ahead of Bob Dylan. So I got Paul Simon. I don't even know if he plays or if he can walk. I don't care. Greg Maddux.
You're going to play fast.
Paul Simon.
Greg Maddux is part of the foursome.
And then I need my philosophical and literary idol, who is dead, Kurt Vonnegut. That's my four pack.
I thought he had to be alive, Shane.
No.
Come on.
I got to go living?
That's okay. That's fine. I was considering J.D. Salinger.
Were you really?
Yes.
See, look at that.
That'd be fascinating.
Let's get Salinger and Vonnegut out there.
That'd be quite a conversation.
See what happens.
Let's go to dinner. Actually, we should have drinks with them. The 19th hole.
Yes, there we go.
Golf 18 with our guys, and then we go to the 19th hole with our, writers, whatever.
Yes.
The deep thinkers.
Now we're getting somewhere. It's 670 The Score. It's a weekend score crossover coming up next before Dan Wiederer joins us at the top of the hour.
No. Get second and third, get that tying run to second base. But if you're going to steal third right there in the ninth inning down two runs, you got to be safe.
That's Boog Sciambi and Ryan Dempster. Did a nice job working together on the Cubs and Dodgers series on Marquee. It's Spiegel & Company. David Hall is my company today. Welcome over, David. We brought pizza. You get one water.
I got one water. I stole a cranberry juice. Don't tell Shane.
No, well done.
I stole the cranberry juice in the fridge. It was really there.
We got those for Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I'm no Jalen Johnson, but I did enjoy the juice.
You deserve it. You like it a juice.
I like it a juice.
That play the other night, it drove me nuts, man. And you could tell by the call there from Boog and Demp, they knew that Craig Counsell wouldn't have called that, and he did not call that. It was Seiya Suzuki on his own. And as we have a unique moment with the host of Inside the Clubhouse, in season edition, and the host of Hit and Run, only exists in season, here together this afternoon, we could kick around baseball a little bit before we get back to the Bears and Dan Wiederer at the top of the hour. Maddening from Seiya Suzuki, who I have to think of as a guy who should not have challenging baseball instincts at this point in his life and career, but clearly does at all things except hitting.
I'm tired of having Seiya Suzuki disappoint Cubs fans for at least one night every September. I am tired of that because he should know better. And that was inexcusable. That's the word that Craig Counsell used. I know he was lumping it in with the PCA
strong,
misstep,
though.
But it's strong from a guy that does not criticize players publicly, holds them accountable privately. But hearing that from Craig Counsell, I think, gave everybody license to think, what are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to pick on one guy, but he's an easy target, Matt. I think that I look at the season he's had. I know his OPS. I know he's got 20 homers. I know he can be really good offensively.
He's their best hitter, David. He is. Frustrating, but he is their best hitter. In terms of quality of contact and the OPS production, and in terms of consistency, he is.
I would like to think that if you're ranking the guys that you would want back, he would not be above Cody Bellinger in my book as far as hitters.
He would not be above Cody Bellinger for me either. Now, Cody Bellinger, you may not have an
option.
But you might be stuck with him.
Well, I don't know if you want to be – you might be stuck. That would be your word, not mine. I would think that you would have Cody Bellinger back, hopefully, for a resurgent year. I don't think he's done. I think he's had a tough season, and that the numbers haven't been what he's wanted. I don't know. I think I probably am triggered by Suzuki because I saw him struggle this year with fly balls that he should not have struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's overrated defensively.
He is.
He isn't what he was advertised when he came here.
Yeah.
So by virtue of that, he was overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, you do get a guy who is a plus offensive player, but he's streaky.
I think Seiya Suzuki is a guy that you check in with in the offseason and see if he'd be willing to waive his no-trade clause.
No doubt about it.
And he's a guy that you bandy about in conversations, if that's a yes, and maybe there's just a couple of markets and I can think of one that needs some offense very badly, one that has a history of good relationships with Japanese players, and that's the Seattle Mariners.
And they have a good farm system.
Good farm system.
They can give you a prospect. You got a ton of
good young pitchers in that rotation, too, if you want to aim super.
Can we agree on this? I think that if you are the Cubs and you do miss the playoffs, as it looks like they will, with five out with 16 to go, and it's a tall task, almost inconceivable, they're going to have to change the mix. They've got to change the mix of what they have. So it's either the corner outfielders are blocking people in your system. I don't think you're going to trade prospects for pitching. I think you could be active in free agency, but either Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki have to be talked into waiving that no trade clause and being willing to go somewhere else.
Can I go ahead and dream big on Brian Wu in that Seattle Mariners rotation? But he's at the very beginning of his contract. You're talking about an unbelievable exchange in terms of the contract number, and I'm probably aiming absurdly high. Mm-hmm. But the idea of maybe adding in a young pitching prospect of your own with Seiya Suzuki to get a young rotation-ready pitcher from Seattle back, and then you can go out and spend, what is it for? Is it 20 mil for Seiya next year?
Yes.
Is it 15 mil for Seiya?
It's 17. 17.
So then you can go, spend that money in free agency on somebody who can actually play the outfield for you if you want, or somebody who can play another spot if you want, or you're going to bring Bellinger back and he's going to play right field.
Or somebody who's not going to run into the second out of a two-run game when you need to win that game because it was urgent to win that game.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, somebody who's not going to try to steal third on their own when a lefty hitter is at the plate and not take a big enough lead to even give yourself a shot.
It was an invitation to be thrown out. He had a clear view. Will Smith of third base. Easy throw, easy tag, easy out. You can't have that at this time of the year. You can't have that in September. And you certainly don't want to tolerate that anytime, but this just made it worse. So the Cubs are now in Colorado. Three-game series against the Rockies.
19 mil for Seiya Suzuki next year, 19 again in 2026, which for an 800 OPS guy, an 825, I believe it is right now, OPS guy, is not unreasonable, potentially.
I think it makes him maybe more tradable, the fact that his numbers are that good. Mm-hmm. Or I think you're more likely to want to trade him than Ian Happ, right? And you can't keep both, can you, and expect to be different next year? How are you going to be different next year?
Upgrading at catcher and trading Nico Hoerner.
Well, Nico Horner's the other guy that you might have to consider trading.
Sacrificing offense for defense, moving Michael Bush over to second base where he can play.
And bringing Vlad Guerrero from Toronto?
Correct.
Possibly, but then what do you do with Matt Shaw? Is Michael Bush a better option than Matt Shaw at second base?
They could platoon for all I care.
Possibly.
There's no saying that Michael Bush has to be an everyday hitter. He gets sat down oftentimes. Council clearly doesn't think much of him.
If Michael Bush is your DH, then I don't know. I like what he has done this year. I think we've maybe overstated how good he has been at times.
I agree, but Bush gets – they pinch hit wisdom for Bush against lefties all the time.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I know that's another thing that Council has done. I really like the job Craig Council's done. I'm not going to pick on him, but there have been times where – I'm like, why are you doing this?
Because he's desperate for power. And
Michael Bush is sometimes your best hitter.
I know, but wisdom against a lefty is the best matchup he's got on the bench.
And he does have 7 pinch hit home runs. I get all that. But sometimes those moves, it doesn't make me convinced that Michael Bush at second base is going to be something that doesn't make you wonder when Matt Shaw is going to arrive.
One more thing. Jacob DeGrom pitches tonight for the first time in 503 days for the Texas Rangers. Kumar Rocker last night for the Texas Rangers. Max Scherzer tomorrow. None of those three are on the Mets who are fighting for a playoff spot.
None of them are on the Mets. I do love the Rocker debut. He was rocking it, as they say, 73 pitches.
Dude.
He had 7 strikeouts in 4 innings. I don't know why the Rangers are pitching DeGrom or Scherzer. Why would they do that at this stage? They're playing for nothing, Matt. It's September 13th.
Yeah.
Why would you risk an injury for guys who've been on the shelf?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I guess they probably want to come back and show that they can.
Compartmentalize the injury?
Yeah.
In the same season?
Right, exactly. Maybe. By the way, Kumar Rocker's father is Tracy Rocker, the former NFLer, former Auburn player, and now the defensive line coach for the Tennessee Titans.
Wow, those D-line coaches are crazy.
I had no idea.
Well, I'm glad for Kumar Rocker. Everyone can be happy for the young man who was drafted by the Mets, cut loose, had surgery, and then has made his way back to be a factor and a guy that you're going to have to keep an eye on for the Rangers.
There's morning Wiederer, and now there's afternoon Wiederer. David Haugh gets a taste of that next on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.